The rain never stops. The thunder rumbling. And the occasional flash of lightning. And as I'm sure you can hear, it's leaking. We are at the end of the world. In Tate Modern's turbine hall. And the year is 2058. 50 years ahead. And the weather is inclement. This is TH 2058 by the artist Dominique Gonzalez Forster, the latest artist to take over the turbine hall in the Unilever series of commissions. And it all happens, it all begins under the bridge that crosses the turbine hall, which is full of bunk beds, row after row of them, zooming away towards the end of the space. They haven't got any mattresses on them, these beds, but each has a book thrown casually on its metal base. J.G. Ballard, The Drowned World. Borges' fictions. Catherine Defour, Le Goût de l'Immortal. Lots of books. William Gibson. But whoa, moving out from under the bridge, we're in a space not just full of bunk beds, but sculptures. Here's Louise Bourgeois's Maman, the giant spider, looming overhead with her egg sac bulging. She's doing a sort of two-step with an even bigger sculpture that reaches right up towards the roof. Flamingos by Alexander Calder. This great red steel-painted abstraction. Except that doesn't quite sound like steel to me. It sounds like the dull clang of fiberboard. Chipboard, perhaps. It's a fake. And so is the bronze of the bourgeois. Tinny, styrofoamy sort of noise. And as we progress towards the end of the turbine hall, other sculptures hove into view. A gigantic cat. Now, I happen to know that this is not a fake, and it hasn't been enlarged by 10 or 15%. This is Felix by Maurizio Catalan. Felix the cat. Huge, nevertheless, and not much like the cuddly cartoon. This Felix is a all-toothed, all-clawed skeleton. Tail erect. And over on the other side, a rather dull Henry Moore. Aren't they all? I'm going to beat my head against it. I've got my hands full. Yep, sounds like my brain. Again enlarged. All these sculptures, they remind me of other sculptures by other artists, suddenly. Behind them all is a screen hanging from the back of the gallery on which we witness fragments and clips. I think that's Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes. Lots of fragments of end of the world movies. Oh, I've just gone under the Henry Moore there. I'm not sure I should have done that. There's some Bruce Nermans and some people chanting, real people chanting. Perhaps they don't really know what they're doing here. Lots of people looking down from the bridge of the turbine hall. At the end of the world. What's this book here on this? Oh, we can have a rest, you see, on these bunk beds. Roberto Bolaño, the novel 2666, not yet published in English. He was great, a Chilean novelist who lived in Spain in Catalonia and died not too long ago. Fantastic writer. Haven't read that one yet. You can come in, have a nap, hunker down on these rather uncomfortable bunk beds, watch a bit of a movie. Charlton Heston seems to be stuck now. He's sort of on the top of a volcano, stark naked, running through the lava. But the movie has stalled. The end of the world has actually happened. Everything just stops. So you can lie on these bunk beds and you can read William Gibson's Pattern Recognition, and you can have a quick leaf through something in Russian. Remember that one? Probably pocket one of them. I'm sure a lot of these books are going to get pocketed and going to disappear, and they'll have to replace them. All of them are dystopian fantasies, really, of what's going to happen in a real or imagined future. Georges Perec, Un homme qui dort. The War of the Worlds, H.G. Wells. Not many writers write happy books of the future, do they? Utopia isn't really very sexy at all. And hell and miserable ends of the world are much more fun to read and to watch. The flames and the deluges, the floods and the pitchforks are much more fun than people wafting about in white nighties, aren't they? One day, when the seas rise, the turbine hall might well be inundated as the Thames slops over the top of its embankment and the barrier gives up the ghost. Once, several years ago, I was in a boat in Portugal going up to where the port wineries are, and we passed through these enormous locks. It was a strange trip, an art world trip upriver from Porto, and Nicolas Sirota was on the boat. And as we passed through this enormous lock, this vast lock, we pondered who would be the first artist to flood the turbine hall. Well, it's had cracks riven into its floor, hasn't it? It's had other worlds planted in it, had a giant femidom stuck in here by Anish Kapoor one year. It's had the multiple voices of Bruce Nauman and now Dominique Gonzalez-Forster. In the real 2058, of course, Tate Modern will no longer exist and it will have been returned to being a turbine hall and a power station. And here, where the turbines once whirred, there will indeed be water. In 2058, I foresee, the power station will be driven by genetically modified whales, harnessed to vast machinery. And piloting these creatures will be the cloned descendants of Tate directors, charting indoor seas and providing power for a dying world, which neither you or I shall live to see.